I think what needs to happen is we need to take some time to consider what fears we have that are impeding our relationship with the Holy Spirit. And that's something we have to do in our prayer closet. It's not something we can just do right offhand. It's not easy to find fears because we tend to be in denial a lot. But we need to find them. We need to admit them first to ourselves, then to God, who already knows. And as you come to him, be honest with your fear of disappointing people, if that's the issue, or how you don't really trust him to come through on promises, if that's your issue, or whatever else you may be feeling. There's lots of possibilities. The truth is, following the Holy Spirit, you know, if I say that, the immediate reaction is, oh, I can do that. Sure, he's God, I'll follow him, because I know that's good. But the fact is, the truth is that the Spirit of the living God is guaranteed to ask you to go somewhere or do something you wouldn't normally want to do or choose to do.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
The Spirit will lead you to the way of the cross, as he led Jesus to the cross. Well, I'm not talking about the physical cross with nails necessarily, but it will be a position of difficulty. And that is definitely not a safe or pretty or comfortable place to be. The Holy Spirit of God will mold you into the person you were made to be. This often incredibly painful process strips you of selfishness, pride, and fear. So this isn't an easy walk. Following the Holy Spirit can be difficult. I guarantee you it will be difficult. But in the end, it will develop you, it will sanctify you, and more importantly, you will be with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will enable you to go through those things. The alternative to ignore the Holy Spirit just puts you out in left field and puts you in a place that you think is comfortable, but that's only temporary. Because things will come in your life and you won't have the Holy Spirit to help you through them. So it's so important to follow what looks like the harder path, when in fact, with the power of the Holy Spirit, isn't necessarily hard. Not only is it not hard, it can be extremely rewarding once you get through it. Amen? Another fear is sometimes the sin we take on in our lives, before salvation, we'll say, becomes such a part of us that it requires the same kind of ripping and tearing to free us. The Holy Spirit does not seek to hurt us, but he does seek to make us Christ-like, and this can be painful. They call it tough love. Holy Spirit knows that and will make us do whatever is necessary to help us get clean. And we thank him for that, but we have to follow him to do that. Amen? And it's not comfortable. So we all have that choice. We always have a choice. Every moment of the day, the Holy Spirit's there telling us, urging us, prompting us some direction. I think. He does for a while, but if you completely ignore him, I'm convinced he stops. So there comes a point where your hardness of heart, we'll call it, the Holy Spirit just stops and waits. And waits for you to get into enough trouble, going your own way, where your hardness of heart says, I need you again, God. Where are you? And then we try again, and he tries to show us where to go. He never gives up. He loves us so much. As you know, if God gave his only begotten son, and this is the same love we're talking about, he's not going to give up on us. So even though in our stubbornness or our need to control our environment and run our lives, whatever our reasons are that we choose not to follow the Holy Spirit, he follows us. And he waits for the right moment. And I just know he's been there when I've been stubborn. And after I got through my mess, he was there. He's still there trying to lead me back. I'm not saying I'm back. But I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in all of our lives. What I'd like to do now is give you a little better description of my perception of the Holy Spirit, so that the choice becomes a little easier. Because I think it's, you know, this business of choosing to follow the Holy Spirit largely depends on what we think we're following. So let's talk about that for a little bit. Attributes of the Holy Spirit. First, the Holy Spirit is a person. He's not a power or thing. He's not something that yields miracles or something. Not that miracles don't happen, but the Holy Spirit is a person who has a personal relationship with not only believers, but with the Father and the Son continuously. Amen? Second, the Holy Spirit is God. He's not some subordinate sent by Jesus to do work on you. He is the Holy God. He is not lesser or a different kind of being than God the Father and God the Son. Third, the Holy Spirit is eternal and holy, just as the other gods are. Because the Holy Spirit is holy and dwells in us, our bodies are holy sanctuaries from God's vantage point. Too often we disdain our bodies as the source of sin in our fallenness, yet they are precisely where God the Spirit chooses to dwell. Praise God. And like I said before, I would never imagine he would do that. But then I'm just a little thing, temporary. And, you know, you kind of wonder, I mean, there's no way we can fathom what we really need, which shows us that when God designed and created us, he designed us to be in relationship with him. He didn't design us to be on our own. We don't have the intellect to be on our own. We don't have the power to be on our own. All we can do is either follow the Holy Spirit and our Godhead or continue to follow Satan, whom we were born under. Amen? The Holy Spirit has his own mind. He prays for us. The thought of the Holy Spirit praying for me is quite a comfort. I know I have a hard time with prayer, even though I try it a bit. There's many times I can't find the right words. I know there's a need, and I see someone, they say, I have this problem, and I try to pray. I just know that despite my bumbling words, as with this message, the Holy Spirit's there to straighten things out. And he prays with me to God for me correctly, because he knows he's in my heart. He knows my heart. He knows my problems. He knows what I'm trying to say. And he probably adds to it, thank you. And says it correctly. So that's just such a comfort. And as my words bumble even more, I could always go pray in tongues and make it all the Spirit. And, you know, it's all yours, God. Do it. Straighten this mess out. Or glorify God, or whatever I'm trying to do. Hallelujah, Lord. Fifth, the Spirit has emotions. We are creations in the image of God. The Spirit is God. So it's, you know, don't think he's not like us in ways. The Spirit has emotions. It can be grieved or elated. Amen? The Holy Spirit can be grieved when there is a breach in relationship, whether it be relationship with God or relationship with other people. It can be elated when it sees loving relationships and the joy we feel when that happens. Sixth, the Holy Spirit has his own desires and will. The Spirit has a plan for our lives, for each of us, and provides gifts for these plans. Thank you, Lord. He also has a plan for the church, including this church, and for the worldwide body of Christ. Everything is thought of. God doesn't miss a thing. Everything is coordinated. Everything is structured. Fortunately, he doesn't show us all this. He just shows us what we need to do so we don't go try to mess it up on him. But God is in control. He's sovereign. And finally, the Holy Spirit is omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient, meaning all-powerful, present everywhere, and all-knowing, as all of our gods are, as the Trinity is. Hallelujah, Lord. Okay, so those are major attributes of the Holy Spirit. There's so much more, because he's God. He's infinite. But those points, I think, give us what we need to know about the Holy Spirit, to know that walking with him is a good deal. He's totally capable. He's totally trustworthy. Let me go a little closer. Let me go to the scriptures and talk specifically how the Holy Spirit helps us in our lives now that we have an understanding of his capabilities. The Spirit helps us to speak when we are in precarious situations and need to bear witness. There's numerous scriptures, Mark 13:11 and Luke 12:12, speak to that. He gives us the words. You know, when we get in a bind, when we get cornered, and we need to say something, he gives us the words. To me, that's a big, big deal. So, again, taking a step back, remember I was talking about fear, the fear of relationship. And what is that fear? The fear comes from being led by the Spirit into situations that I don't really know what I'm going to do. And isn't it amazing that when you get in those positions that he gives you the words? So you don't have to spend all your spare time and years studying so that you know all the words that you might speak in any situation. Don't we try to do that? Okay, let's take a course on creationism, development of the earth through creationism and versus evolution. Or let's study the Bible. Let's study so that our head knowledge is so big that we can answer any question any unbeliever has and have an answer for it and solve every problem. Well, you can spend your whole life trying to do that. And by the way, you will not evangelize to anybody. You'll spend your whole time working on yourself. And that's not what we're after here. So the Holy Spirit helps us with that. He tells us, he promises, when you're in a bind and don't know what to say, what word you have read will come out. So you do have to be in the word, because that's, you know, but on the other hand, it says in the scripture that he writes the word in our heart. So maybe if you didn't even have a copy of the word ever in your life, you would know what to say. So the Holy Spirit supernaturally gives us what we need in challenging situations. The counselor teaches and reminds us of what we need to know and remember. Boy, that's good for me. Remember. You know, memory's fading. Remembering all the scriptures? Not quite the way it used to be. Maybe it was never the way it used to be. In any case, he's there. He's there to give us the words, to help us with our memory, to come up with what we need to say. He's our comforter, our advisor, our encourager, and our strength. I'm losing strength, too, just so you know. I'm good for an hour here, but that's about it. So, Lord, give me strength. These poor people have to endure a little longer. He guides us in the way we should go. Hallelujah, Lord. From the Spirit, we receive power to be God's witnesses to the ends of the earth. It is the Spirit who draws people to the gospel. We know that. It's not us. It's the Spirit who does it. The Spirit who equips us with the strength we need to accomplish God's purposes. So when we follow him, even though it looks hard, he gives us that supernatural strength. I know he does. He has for me. The Holy Spirit not only initially draws people to God, he also draws believers like us closer to Jesus. Whether you know it or not, that's happening right now in you. As I talk about the Holy Spirit in you, he's drawing you closer to him, I pray, in Jesus' name. By the power of the Spirit, we put to death the misdeeds of the body. The Spirit sets us free from the sins we cannot get rid of on our own. This is a lifelong process we entered into in partnership with the Spirit when we first believed. I'm not minimizing addictions. We know they're tough. The Spirit's there to help us through every one of them. Amen. It just may take a while. Patience, kindness, fruits of the Spirit. Through the Spirit, we have received a spirit of adoption as children, which lead us into intimacy with the Father instead of a relationship based on fear and slavery. The Spirit bears witness to us that we are his children. As I said before, as Jesus loves us, so does the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. The Spirit brings us life and freedom. Where there is spirit, there is freedom, not bondage or slavery. In our world that is plagued with death, there is a profound truth that points to real hope. He's there providing in every area. Spiritual, love, comfort. He teaches us. He's our encourager. He's our strength. He's all these things. The fruit of being led by the Spirit of God includes love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These attitudes and actions will characterize our lives as we allow ourselves to be grown and molded by the Spirit. The Spirit is our sanctifier. He is the one in us who is helping us change day by day to be more like Jesus. It's so important to maintain that relationship. And like I said before, it's a choice. A relationship with the Holy Spirit is constant. He's in us. He's with us. When the Bible talks about pray without ceasing, we're not talking about a rosary in a church somewhere. We're talking about a constant connection with the Holy Spirit in us, leading and guiding us through all things, giving us all we need in every area. The impediments are ours. They're our fears. They're our fears of looking bad, which, boy, that's, who cares about how we look to the world? Amen? We care about how we look to the Spirit inside of us. Amen. There are other different kinds of impediments aside from fear. Sometimes we can get off track. One can get focused on actions of the Spirit instead of the Spirit itself, like focusing on miracles or healings. Miracles and healings are real and are fruits of the Spirit and are gifts of the Spirit. But we need to continue on focusing on our relationship with the Spirit and our relationship with each other. Spirits come when they are unexpected, when people are faithful and focused on serving and loving each other. Another issue are spiritual gifts. And it's important to remember from 1 Corinthians chapter 13 when he talks about love, that love is required for the gifts, that without love, the gifts are meaningless. So we don't want to focus on just the gifts as well as just the miracles. And a third area where we tend to look for from the Holy Spirit is, what is God's plan for my life? And that would be really neat if we got a nice, well-written map for our life. After we got the map, we'd probably say thank you and then no longer talk to the Holy Spirit. Yeah. But in fact, he doesn't do that. Maybe that allows him some flexibility in where he's leading us also. It's much easier to want a long-term plan in the future from the Holy Spirit, because that's something you might do someday. What we really get from the Holy Spirit is what to do in the next 10 minutes, and will we do it or not? And that's harder, because that means doing it now. It's not something we can put off and think about and decide if we want to do it. And the Lord knows he can lead us day by day. It's a day-by-day walk. It's a day-by-day being in line with the Holy Spirit and following him and trusting and not having fear, trusting in his abilities to provide us strength, words, memory, teachings, all the things that we need to accomplish those tasks. And if those things don't cover it, he gives us special gifts. If he's put you in an area that isn't covered by the normal list of things already mentioned. So it's just trusting in him. Isn't that great? So I'm just so blessed by the Holy Spirit and what he's doing in us, all of us, and what he's doing in this church and what he will do in this church. And this church has a Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit in you. It's not like it's separate. It really is your Holy Spirit that comes forth. So I'm just blessed by the Holy Spirit, and I'd like to end in a prayer that touches my heart with regard to my needs of the Holy Spirit and see if it touches yours. Spirit, we know that we have done wrong by you. Please forgive us for grieving, resisting, and quenching you. We have resisted you through sin, through our rebellion, and through our hardness of heart. At times we have been spiritually blind. At other times we knew what you wanted us to do, but we chose to ignore your promptings. Yet this is not how we want to live now. We need you to change us. Only through you can we truly worship, Lord. Spirit of the Lord, you are the one who brings us to a place where we can worship. You are the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of holiness, the Spirit of life. Thank you for the truth, the holiness, and the life you give us, Father. We need your wisdom and understanding as we seek to live this life. Keep us from disbelief, from fear. We need your strength to help us do what you are asking us to do and to live how you are asking us to live. Speak loudly and drown out the other voices calling us to conform to the patterns of this world. You are the Spirit of self-control and love. Give us the self-control needed to deny our flesh and follow you. Give us a love strong enough to motivate courageous action. Manifest yourself through us that we may serve and love your bride, the church, as you do. Come, Holy Spirit, come. We don't know exactly what that means and looks like for each of us yet in the particular places you've called us to inhabit. But nonetheless, whatever it means, we ask for your presence. Come, Holy Spirit, come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.